This is Doc Story, Maui's longest running talk show. Been doing this, I was trying to count it, 33 years, 52 weeks in a year. What would the math on that be about? That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That would be thousands of shows, thousands of shows. And on those thousands of shows, I've had Vince on a few of those times for sure.
Yeah.
Scott Johnson on quite a few.
Yeah.
But today's show is going to be a lot of fun because I've not only have Vince Esquire here in the studio, who I just really respect, and I just love the trajectory. See, are we going to make a musical trajectory? What would your musical... It kind of would look like a rocket right now, wouldn't it?
I would like to think so, yeah.
It kind of like
going
be a
in
rocket
that direction. Better
taken,
up than down, you
taken
know.
Taken off.
Yep, totally.
An overnight sensation after how many years?
30.
And you're going to be doing an amazing event coming up Sunday. You know, we were just talking about Mark Elman, and I thought I knew him real well, but I just did a little bio search on him, and it blew my mind that I probably knew him when he was in Topanga. I had no idea he lived in Topanga, and he met his wife at the Sagebrush Cantina where I used to go. It's like, wow, strange stuff. Yeah. But Mark Elman's decided to do some really cool stuff at Frida's. And you're wearing a Frida's t-shirt.
I wear it often.
It's a great t-shirt.
All his shirts are great. I have two or three of them. I wear them all the time.
It's very, very nicely designed. So Mark's doing this cool thing. Usually on Frida's, it's closed on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But he's decided to do some fundraiser. And, you know, you've done many fundraisers over the years, Vince.
Sure.
How many?
Countless,
right?
Different ones, different, all great causes, you know. But many of them, yeah.
But the reality is a lot of times when you do fundraisers, a percentage of the money brought in goes to the nonprofit that is the beneficiary. But no, with our friend Mark Elman, he takes all of the money.
100%.
100% of the money, and he gives it to the nonprofit. And he's doing this on Sundays. And I just found out you're even playing at Frida's tonight as well.
I play at Frida's every Tuesday with Eric Gilliam.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
But Eric's at Burning Man,
Eric's
isn't
at Burning
it?
Man. So tonight it'll be myself and Kaulana Kanikoa from, from our band. We're going to do it together.
That's really cool.
Fill in for Eric. Yeah.
He hasn't been posting any pictures, but I was trying to imagine how many football fields of Burning Man are being burnt up by Eric right now.
All of them.
All of the above. So anyway, getting back to what's happening this Sunday, Kanikoa with you. Is happening at Mark Elman's at Frida's. At 6, the doors open. There's tables, there's food, there's a bar, and all the tables and everything is faced so that you can see your band with the ocean behind you at sunset. How cool is that?
It's a beautiful venue, and honestly, I got to say, the best burrito I think I've had in my life.
Really?
Yeah, at Frida's.
Well, I was reminded reading his bio again today, that he owned Maui Tacos. I mean, we can't forget that.
That's right.
He owned Maui Tacos originally and sold it all. So there's definitely that background, right?
Yep. Oh, it's perfect. Yeah. The best.
You've just been going nonstop, and you're going to be playing there before you take off, but you're going to take off as well soon, aren't you?
Yeah. We just got back from the end of our state tour. We just did Kauai a couple nights ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we were there on the 20th, and that was a lot of fun. And then the weekend previous to that, we were at the Blue Note on Oahu, and we were at the Kahilu Theater on the Big Island. So we just kind of finished our state run of shows.
What was it like at the Blue Note?
It's a great venue. It's beautiful. You know, we've played that one, and we've also done the one in Napa. And, yeah, they're just classy, you know, all about the music, you know, the food's great. Really, it's our second time there, so it was a great venue to play again, yeah.
A friend of mine who's co-produced like 5 or 6 of my albums, she owns El Cerrito Studios with her husband Oscar, and she was just there at the Blue Note in Napa just a few weeks ago as well.
Great venue, yeah.
Doing this, you know, great music with a Cuban artist there. So, I mean, I hadn't been aware that the Blue Note in Napa is really taking off, I guess. It's really becoming a cool place to go and play.
Beautiful venue.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very nice. Yeah. Our friend Anuheo plays there often too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So really great venue. Yep.
So and then the Oahu, you know, I guess everything's full force with visitors, and it was busy again at the Blue Note Oahu. Was all packed?
The most people I've ever seen in Waikiki.
Wow.
While we were there, it was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the amount of people walking around. Back to normal, yeah.
Well, you were at the Nohoku's, as I was at the Nohoku's. I didn't get a chance to see your table or anything, but I was actually, my table was just kind of in front of the stage where you were playing with Kanekoa there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good to see you, you know, televised and everything.
It was different for us. You know, they're like, okay, take one of your songs and it has to be 2 minutes and 30 seconds. And we're like, oh, okay, how do we do it?
Yeah.
So we worked on an arrangement of one of our songs and we, you know, just made it happen. And we just took advantage of the opportunity because we were just really... We were looking forward to possibly getting that opportunity.
Yeah.
And when we found out that we did, we were like, okay, let's take advantage, do our thing. And just being on that stage was an honor. You know, how many people have performed, you know, at the Hoku's. It's been...
Well, you know, it happened to be a good night for entertainment. I have to say, you know, between Paula Fuga, John Cruise, Jake Shimabukura, there was some good music happening that night.
Great music.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot of good performers.
Yeah, I don't want to forget Kalani Pia.
Yep.
I see this in sometimes.
And him and Arlie playing together on the stage. That was really cool to see, too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, what's happening, and you're seeing it probably because you're out there in the field with the help of Scott Johnson, the touring group and everything. What's it like? You know, Kanekoa is not easy to define. I know on your site you say, well, if ukulele kind of met ukulele jam rock, Grateful Dead jams, but it's more than that. So how do you, when you're on the road, try to explain to people who are the owners, or Scott Johnson explain to people, because he's managing now, how does he describe Kanekoa?
You know, it's its own unique kind of entity. It's totally its own thing. So I'm not really sure how he describes it to people for them in order to convince them to let us play. You know, that's some manager magic, I guess, but
ukulele-powered Hawaiian jam rock band.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Other than we also do a lot of original material. You know, we get compared to a lot of people. You know, we get compared to the Dead a lot, which is great. You know, because they're massive influences. But also, at the end of the day, we do a lot of original material too. You know,
how did that connection with the wonderful people from the Blasters and Los Lobos? Steve Berlin. I've known for since back in the days when I was in Cavieri in Santa Rosa, because I'd played Los Lobos music there a lot. How did that connection happen?
We were blessed with the opportunity to do some shows opening for them in California. We did two or three different places in Northern California, and we just kind of, you know how when you travel with a band and you do, you know, shows in succession with them, you kind of form a bond and with people, and they just really took to what we were doing because they felt it was in the spirit of what they do, very jammy, free form, improvisational.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve just kind of took notice, and we kind of just made the connection. He really appreciated it, and we just basically stayed in touch as you would with friends that you make, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's basically, it was just opening for them, in a nutshell, was opening for them and meeting them and spending time with them.
Which happened when they played here.
Yep, when they played here, yep, definitely.
Not that long ago, really. And now, you know, it's interesting because I see, like I said, your trajectory is going straight up. But here you are in that kind of in-between stage where you are still playing clubs, mm-hmm. right? And still doing some opening acts, but touring more, which is kind of developing your audience.
Definitely.
And your fan base, I guess.
Definitely. We recently signed with C, and so this next October we're gearing up for. Logistically, it's probably going to be the longest that we've ever done because we're starting down in Carlsbad near San Diego, and we're going to Seattle. In Seattle, we go back to Alaska. So pretty much we're doing 7 shows. We come back to Hawaii, to Maui for like 9 days. Then we go back out for another 12 shows or something like that.
Did you ever stop and think Alaska in the wintertime, dark and cold?
Light and cold. Well, no, dark and cold.
It's very dark.
Dark and cold, that's right, because when we were just there, it was light.
It's the opposite in the winter.
It was so weird. It was so weird seeing the sun kind of go down at like 3 in the morning and then, you know, be back up fully again at 5:30, you know, it was really weird.
It is. I've been there, but I mean, it's right, obviously.
Right. You're right.
I could see where they'd love your music, truthfully.
Yeah. We had a good time. Stoked to go back. Kodiak. We're going to Kodiak.
Bear.
Like the bear.
A bear.
Yeah, like the bear. So we're doing. Yeah.
The lake you were on is going to be frozen.
That's right. Exactly. Ice skating and whatnot.
Ice skating.
Yeah.
I just have to laugh thinking of you ice skating. Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Ice skating. Oh no, that's not going to happen. So meanwhile, with all this going on, basically, what is you when you sit down with your band, you know? And of course, I love the band, and I like your work ethic. The fact that you work really hard. I remember when you played at the Maui Fair, how blown away I was, you know, by the quality of the work. The fact that you're there, you're on time, you're professionally show up, and you know all that since you've been in this business. You have your own studio, so you know what it's like working with musicians, right?
Definitely. Yep. Got to be a people person and know how to work with people for sure is a big part of it.
Yeah. So doing all of this and building it, then, like, are you figuring out where it's going to go next as far as recording, or you just sit back and relax because you had that big album? Where does that go?
Oh, actually, we're already working on our second album with Steve Berlin, so we're doing another project with Steve. He had so much fun in the last one. He's like, okay, let's do another one. So we are re-recording an album that we released that basically through some bad business we kind of lost the rights to. You know how that goes.
When that
it's
happens.
It's like a Taylor Swift thing, right? So we're re-recording an old album so we can actually use material and just kind of do our... We recorded that album in 2007, so the band has come and progressed into a new thing now. So we really just want to take this old catalog of songs anyway and just kind of make them, revamp them a little bit and make them what we do now.
Well, you know, also I can't help but wonder, since you're so great live and you're doing all of these gigs, I mean, places like the Blue Note must have good recording session areas or ways to record. Had you thought, since you're doing such cool jam things, to do a live one?
We actually did record the Blue Note show from a few nights ago.
Oh, good.
We're going to start.
The one on Oahu?
The one on Oahu. Mm-hmm. So we have the tracks for that. We're going to start hopefully doing something with that, mixing and doing all that stuff soon. So we have plans for a Blue Note release at some point.
I really do like that idea. Sometimes that live stuff is really fun, you know, because you get that feeling of the jam of the vibe you get with your audience, which carries through.
Yeah, I mean, our live albums sell probably twice over the studio albums.
Wow.
Because people are really more
they
into...
They cost a lot less.
They cost less to make. But they want the experience of what they just saw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the closer they can get to that, which would be our live albums, those tend to go a little bit faster, you know.
But do you have another live album up?
In total, we have, I think, 8 or 9 live albums. If you go
I
on our...
didn't yeah. know there were that many live albums.
Yeah, there's a lot of them we didn't press or release, but we have a lot of albums that we have on our website.
Just like the Grateful Dead.
Exactly. Same exact formula. We have a lot of live releases, yeah. More than studio releases, for sure.
But does everyone come to your concert stoned on acid, Vince?
Regularly. Regularly. Yeah. I would say on Kauai, there were some there. For sure.
I didn't know people still did that. I'm sorry. I've been out of the loop for a while, but I mean,
they never stopped doing it.
Well, I mean, I did live in Sonoma County for a long time at Santa Rosa, and it was all Grateful Dead people. And I interviewed Jerry Garcia, actually.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Nice.
And Mickey Hart. And
love Jerry.
A lot of them. Yeah. But, I didn't ask him if he was stoned on acid when I interviewed him, but maybe he was. I don't know. Maybe
I don't know.
but it is interesting. I mean, there's not a lot. You know, I think of the Blues Travelers, right?
The Blues Travelers, yeah. John Popper.
Yeah, kind of doing that kind of jam thing where you just get that vibe going with the audience and everything like that too, right?
Yeah, we got to play with John Popper too.
You didn't get to play with John Popper.
Yeah, when he was at Charlie's a few years back, before the pandemic. We opened for John Popper, and he came and played. There's a video on YouTube of us playing with John Popper.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, my God,
yeah,
I love him.
He sat in with us. We did Franklin's Tower, Birth on the Dead, together.
Not.
Yeah, check it out on YouTube.
I have to check that out.
It's there. Yeah, that was a fun night.
Is that one of the live ones recorded? You ever record that one?
It's there on YouTube for sure. I know it's up there.
But not a quality enough to have a...
I think it was, yeah, maybe a board mix or something. I don't know. Yeah, maybe. But I know there's a video of it.
Should we play a little bit of a song, Don't Let Go, from...
Yeah, with John Cruise. John Cruise is the man.
I love John Cruise.
He's the man. Love John Cruise.
I absolutely am amazed by him, truthfully.
He's one of the best ever.
And you know what? He's humble. He's not egotistical at all.
Not even a tiny, tiny bit. Not even.
I did an interview with him kind of recently, and I was blown away by how much time he spends on each song. You know, you just assume if you're a talented artist, you get up there and you write a song, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, it's gone. You know, you don't think. He said he spends sometimes years on one song.
He's what you would call a song crafter. Yeah, not a songwriter. A songwriter and a song crafter, because he crafts
his
songs, you know.
Absolutely.
For sure.
So what did he do on this one?
He actually presented us with this song kind of during the pandemic, and we decided to kind of modify the tune a little bit. And so he came to the studio. We rewrote some lyrics together. Yeah, so it's actually more so a John Cruise song that he, you know, presented to the band as a project.
An amazing gift. Let's listen. Yeah.
John Cruise.
Just four strings and the people to help us sing. Yeah. All I need is a little groove, a little space that I can move. Find music to soothe my soul. Hold on to me, baby. Don't let go. Steve.
That's Steve Berlin on tech.
Yeah, Steve Berlin.
Wow. You know, I can't help but think of Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, yeah.
John Cruise doing his other side of himself.
Totally.
Did you ever hear Leonard Cohen's last song? Are You Want It Darker?
I have not. Oh. I will check that out.
Sounds like it. Sounds like it.
Awesome. Yeah, Steve's the man.
And you know what? It sounds like you're having fun recording this.
We had so much fun recording this. We just got in the studio with John and just had a good time, you know. He had his son with him in the studio. And we're just hanging out, and yeah, it was so much fun.
This is amazing. Okay, this is available. The whole album, I really think it's a masterpiece. This whole thing.
That's a lot of it. I just got to keep attesting it to Steve Berlin. You know, he was really the head producer, and we just kind of followed his lead. And his team, you know, he had a specific mixing engineer and a specific mastering engineer that really.
Where was it recorded?
We recorded everything here. I did all the engineering, the tracking, and me and Uncle Don Lopez did all the work together and sent the files out, and off it went.
It's absolutely fantastic, of course. How nice to be able to get that. You have some other great artists on this album. The album is called?
Songs from the Great Disruption. Yeah.
And it's on, of course, your website, which is?
Kanekoa.live, and it's also on Spotify, anywhere streaming, yeah.
And there's some other great artists on this album as well.
We got G Love, we got Jake Shimabukuro, we got Amy Hanightley, we got Eric Gilliam, we got George Kahumoku, we got Tavana, we got Uncle Frank Hewitt, Kumu Frank Hewitt.
How'd you get Frank Hewitt?
we had our you know, our Hawaiian, you know, Kanaka lead singer reach out, and they made the connection, and yeah, that was
no, I have
fun,
nothing
yeah.
but respect. I've known him for years.
Fantastic
maybe 30
guy.
Years. The guy blows me away. Yeah. I mean, he's about as real a deal of a really mystic chanter guy that you'll ever find, truly.
Right. And he gave us the blessing to record his song, and so that was really, really awesome. Yeah. We did a great version too. It came out great.
You know, the thing is, it's hard to top something like this, but you're going to go back in the studio and do that again.
We're doing it again with the same team, so, you know.
You know, it's so hard for people to realize that, you know, you start with a group, and then you take off, and you're not the same group.
Right.
You're not the same group you were.
Right.
You know, you have kind of taken it to a whole new level. And
yeah.
So people thinking of Kanekoa that they may have heard before, when they're hearing Kanekoa now.
Right.
Where you've gone with all these things is pretty amazing. So
yeah.
have you been able to do stuff in LA and get some guest artists from there ever? Have you got are you just doing the outer edges, or what are you doing? You hitting LA up at all?
You know, we probably on the next tour in March are going to do a few shows in LA. We're trying to kind of, we don't have much of a following fan base down in Southern Cali yet, so we're just kind of working, kind of trying to massage the relationships down there and build our following a little bit. And then we'll specifically do, you know, targeted Los Angeles shows.
Yeah.
Probably closer to the beach area, you know, on
yeah.
the, you know,
yeah.
kind of fits the vibe a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
We've played in places like at the Mint and stuff like that before, a long time ago, but we need to go back,
yeah.
rework that again. But
yeah.
for sure LA soon, yeah.
Is the Troubadour still there?
Probably.
I really would love to see you play the Troubadour.
Yeah. Well, shoot it to Scott. Those guys make anything happen. So,
well,
you know,
I mean, I spend a lot of time in L.A., and I used to go to the Troubadour all the time, and it's a small club.
And that's where, like, Linda Ronstadt and,
oh,
like,
James Taylor.
All those people got
I saw,
Elton
I saw
John
Dr.
And
John and the Wild Shop at Tula's there. James
yeah.
Taylor is all there.
Yeah.
Carol King.
A lot of people got all their the, start there.
Yeah. No, that would be good. That would be good. It used to be when there were record companies, that's where all the record company executives would go.
They'd go find the talent.
Well, they'd do their opening act, big thing on a record where they say they'd buy out the whole
gotcha.
Place and put
right.
all their people and the record DJs.
Do like
and
a
all.
Showcase, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's what used to happen a lot. But
right.
I don't think there's all the record companies aren't that big. I don't know if they spend that kind of money anymore. But you do. This is, you know, you're really, like I say, on a higher level now. And it's almost like at some point, did you think of maybe taking Kanekoa and taking the name and making it a little more or something? You know, because you have Vince Esquire, which you do
right.
this amazing blues stuff, and you're going to be doing some more amazing blues stuff coming up real soon with you.
Right.
But there's that Vince, and then there's the Kanekoa Vince. So you kind of have the two going on at the same time, parallel.
Yep.
I think that's Mark Elman.
Oh, maybe it is.
Hey, is that you, Mark Elman?
It is.
It's Mark Elman.
Hey, I'm here with Vince.
Great. Hey, Vince.
How's it going, brother?
Good.
Cool.
So, Mark, I just found out we have some sync connections that I never knew about before. I lived up at the top of Topanga Canyon on Medley Lane, and I would drive from Topanga Canyon to go to work at K-Rock in my Porsche convertible every morning at around 4 or 4:30 because I did the morning show out there. And I never knew you worked at Tommy's on Topanga Canyon Boulevard until I just looked up your bio.
Yeah. Texas Tommy's, yes.
We're on Topanga?
And then my wife lived in Skyline in Topanga. And I would also, at the Corral, I would do food.
I remember the Corral.
On different concert events at the Corral in Topanga.
So did you then... Because I used to take, I had a horse up in Topanga, and I would ride some down to the Sagebrush Cantina, because they actually had a hitching post.
Yeah, that where Judy and I, yep.
That's
we
crazy.
We both worked there and Whoa. Met there.
There was nothing like the Sagebrush Cantina. Folks, if you didn't know this
there
place...
There was nothing like the Sundance Saloon across the street.
That's true. There was sawdust on the floor at the Sagebrush.
Yeah, the Sagebrush.
And they had a hitching post out front, and it really feel... It felt very Mexican kind of feeling. It felt kind of that vibe, right?
Right.
And
as I remember, good chili. I remember.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
I think so.
So.
And. What year did you leave L.A.?
I left L.A. to start the stations up there in Northern California in 1979.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I left in 83.
So
Judy and I met in 76.
So it was around that time.
You were there.
So
at
that
the
was
same
when
time.
I was yep. yes, that was when I was yes. driving to K-Rock Fest. That's amazing. Never knew. And of course, then when I moved here to Maui, I would go to the Avalon restaurant, and it was one of the most happening restaurants. It was the happening place in Lahaina when you had Avalon.
Lahaina was pretty cool back then.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's not that cool.
It's not what it once was.
No, but except for what you have going on, and then you had Penny Pasta, then you went on to, and people forget that you had Maui Tacos.
Yep. Busy man. I'm so happy just to have one.
Well, yeah, Mala's blew people away. You know, Mala Walea, then Mali, Mala Mala, and then now Frida's. I have to say I'm blown away by the fact, Mark, that you are doing these benefits on Sunday, and all the money goes to the nonprofit. What's the nonprofit that's the beneficiary of your concert happening there this Sunday at 6:30 at Frida's?
Naleo Kalele.
And how did you pick them?
Well, you know, we used to... We used to support Kudana Leo for many, many years with our book, the Praxis Aloha book. But my good friend Brad Rogers, or Liko Rogers, he runs the program at Princess Nahenahena. And we're good friends, and I figured it was time to support that group. And we picked Naleo Kalele. It's a group that really advocates Hawaiian language education in public schools. So, and 100%, like you said before, 100% of the price of admission goes to Naleo Kalele. So, since we're closed on Sundays, we're not going to sell more than 100 tickets. We're almost at 70 tickets now.
Wow.
It's an intimate concert. It's Kanekoa, I don't think, has played more than a few times on the west side, if at all.
Less than a handful, yeah.
And I have to say, you have some really cool friends. I didn't even mention in that whole evolution of how grateful I am that you asked me to do a little statement, and I wrote a poem for Practice Aloha, which became Practicing Aloha, which became the song, which became the video, which you funded that video, thank you, and then became that album, which was a whole venture. That was only my second album. Now I've got 13, but that was still one of my all-time favorite albums, and it wouldn't have happened without you saying, hey, why don't we do this with that? And so again, you were a catalyst in that as well. And people still, are you still printing out those? I see those bumper stickers everywhere, Mark.
Oh, yeah. We just received 25,000.
Oh, I need some more. I need some more because,
we give them out.
And I send them, around the country. And someone told me once they saw one somewhere in Arizona. And it's like, yeah.
I get photos from Switzerland, Haiti, people seeing the stickers on mopeds in Italy. My sister's a postal worker. She sees them up in Seattle. So
amazing.
Yeah, they get around.
In Italy even. My gosh, that's mind-blowing. See, I mean, from an idea, to what happens. But one of the things that happened on that is there was this book signing that you did at Costco. I have never done anything at Costco. And I sat there going, oh, God, I feel really uncomfortable at Costco. But you had some people there. Everyone that walked by that table knew you, Mark. Everyone, and there were hundreds, everyone walking through knew Mark Elman. And, you know, it was like...
Well, that's only because I cook for a living.
I mean, that did blow my mind. I thought, wow. I mean, I knew a few people, yeah. I mean, but I was like, oh, hey, Mark. You know, it's like, wow. The history pays off, and I think you have a lot of people who love you. And would do anything. Oh, I think I've got Anthony Fluke on the line. Let's put this all together here.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Oh,
is that you, Anthony?
What a marvelous young man. Yes.
Oh, we're all here at one time.
Anthony, I've got Mark Elman on the other line, and I've got Vince Esquire in the studio. How are you doing, Anthony?
Oh, sure. Good. How are you?
I have to say, Anthony, I think, has the most amazing future ahead of him. I can't tell you how much I love this man, his devotion to his music, his passion, how he has been involved in the Lays of Aloha. I mean, and your voice, Anthony, my God, and the way you play. I mean, you've got it all, and you're only 21 years old.
Well, thank you, and I'm just really blessed to be learning by, you know, following the lead of Vince Esquire, who has started, I think, younger than I have, and Uncle Mark has been a great host to so many musicians, including Vince and Eric and myself, and it's just blessed to be among such great company on Maui. So I appreciate the kind words.
Well, Mark, you've had him there playing on the Tuesday night gigs you offer up to people, right?
Yes. While Vince was off touring on the mainland, Anthony sat in, and he filled his seat well.
Yes.
But to have Kanekoa and Anthony on it the same night is just going to be mind blowing. So I'm really excited about Sunday night's music. So the food will be pretty good. We're doing a limited menu. The drinks will be great, but the music's going to be fantastic.
So what are people supposed to? What would you recommend as a drink?
Well, margarita.
That's what I was going to say, margarita. Oh, and by the way, Vince is wearing the wonderful T-shirt, the Frida's Mexican Restaurant T-shirt. I love this T-shirt. Who did that design?
I don't know which one he's
wearing. It's the girl. It's the girl with the maracas.
The girl with the maracas and the red low-cut top.
My daughter Ariana worked that out.
Awesome.
So she did that with Rudy King over at King's Printing, the guy that does T-shirts and hats and lion hair.
I love it. I love it. So Anthony. So I've heard rumors that you're moving and you're looking for a place in Hilo right now. Is that true?
Yes, I actually just found a place this week, and I've been here for UH Hilo, studying a little Hawaii, studying Hawaiian language, and but really stoked to come back and fly back this weekend for such a great benefit, benefiting Hawaiian immersion, the Punana Leo. So it's it's really a blessing, really surreal to be here after, you know, being born and raised in Maui, being all I know. I really love it here, though. But just here for the semester, and I'll be flying back most weekends to jam at Nalu's every Saturday. And really excited for this awesome benefit on Sunday with Kanekoa. And, it's really happy life right now, I guess.
but I have to ask you, Anthony, was that a hard decision? Because you're kind of on a trajectory. Your career is taking off. You're doing a lot of stuff. And did you stop and go, gosh, I don't know if I want to stop everything and go back and go to school and learn all this right now? I know there's a deep cultural background with your family and everything. But was it a hard decision?
Yeah, it was a hard decision. And up until this point, I've been studying via Zoom, like through COVID. But there's a Hawaiian songwriting class this year that's only in person with Kumulali Kimura that I just couldn't pass up. He's somebody that's one of the founders of the revitalization movement of Hawaiian language and culture in the 70s and 80s, you know, and to learn from him is a blessing that I didn't want to, you know, put off, you know, and I know that, you know, music will always be there, and it still is there, and I'm hoping to still, fly around and play on Maui and a little bit on Oahu as well. But I know that if I can lay this foundation of and learn from these beautiful people here, that I really
I won't regret it in the future, and there'll be a lot of great music and just life to come. So excited for all of that.
You know, Vince, there's such sincerity.
Yeah.
Anthony's got this innocent sincerity that it's hard to find sometimes.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about, Mark, right? Just this.
Of course.
Just this really.
That's why, for some reason, we attract the same kind of people, the same kind of folks that are looking for the same thing in their lives. So chemistry it just happens, and we find each other.
Yep.
And with music, that happens. I know with Vince and I know also it was just Eric Gilliam's birthday on Monday, and his birthday.
Yesterday,
he decided to celebrate at Burning Man.
Yep.
That's his own school, right? I don't know. I'm going to ask him what he learned at Burning Man. His school is Burning Man. but then you, Anthony, have played with Eric and done jams with Eric. And, again, Eric's got a lot of levels to him, but he's got this, love of music that just takes off. And he sees that in you too, Anthony. And I know you probably like jamming with him as well. And you've done that at Frida's, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, those are really fun jam sessions, and the way he'll just take off in a certain direction, I'll kind of follow him over there, and then I'll take a stab at another direction, and he'll come over there with me, and it's sort of cool, this musical conversation, musical interaction that whenever you put two or three or however many guys who love music together, it's always I feel like it's not addition, it's more multiplication, what the end result is when that comes out of the sound system. So it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Well, and I know I can tell Anthony this for sure. Going and studying with the people that can really teach you what you want to learn is only going to make your music deeper. It's when you can study with your influences and you can go and spend time with those people that you know can transfer you information and energy that you can't get anywhere else, it's going to just heighten your level of playing to another stratosphere, so definitely take that time to go and do that, because that's going to make everything deeper. It's going to make what you play and what you say and everything you do with your music deeper, man. So definitely go and do that for sure.
So in
Thank
a way,
you. I appreciate the encouragement.
So kind of an enhancement of your roots, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, I moved to Austin, Texas when I was 18 to go and play with the real guys, because the only way you can get that kind of energy and information is to go and study with the real guys. Mm-hmm. So, and that's essentially what he's doing now, and that's you have
I
to take that.
I never would have compared Austin with Hilo.
Well, you have to take that step. You have to take that step.
Yeah.
You got to do it. You got to go and study and get the information from the sources.
That's impressive. That is very impressive. So, Mark, you have a good thriving business at Frida's. What made you decide that you wanted to bring music into the scene?
Eric and Barry Flanagan reached out to me. We talked during COVID, especially Barry, and Barry wanted to do something in Lahaina, a show, and I felt it'd be apropos to choose a charity. It worked out so well. Well, we always have done music on Cinco de Mayo. We had Benny Uwataki and Nate, Dr. Nat, and Joe Cano, who's played. And when we set up a little area for the musicians at Frida's, and with their backs to the ocean while the sun is going down, it was really a magical night, and made me want to continue that feeling. So Eric and Vince started off, and I forget how many months, but it's been many, many months of playing, and it's a great venue. And to have this caliber of musicians like Anthony, Vince, and Eric is just, we all love music growing up, and it just feels good doing it, and we're going to continue to do it. And with HAPA, we did Women Helping Women. We gave them a check for $10,000.
Wow.
And we're hoping this Sunday to give a check for $5,000 to Naleo Kalele. People call 661-1287, make your reservations. The show starts at 6, where Anthony will kick off around 6:30. And then Kanekoa will kick off around 7:30, I believe. So it's been a great night of food, drink, and wonderful music.
Well, since you said tickets are going fast, too, I guess the best way is to call 808-661-1287. Because I didn't realize you just have room for like 100 people, and if you've already sold more than half of that, people should take advantage of it. You know what? I just have to go back to what you said. This is top entertainment, and Anthony there, you know, and Vince here, and Eric. We're talking about musicians who are some of my favorite musicians who I just really honor.
Oh, I know.
And Eric, my gosh, these are amazing people we're lucky to have, and I'm so glad you recognize that.
Well, I like having the best around me.
You do. Yes.
That's why we picked these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And Anthony, you're going back and forth. How many hours does it take to get from Hilo to Maui these days?
It's funny you ask. Yes, it really depends. I was over here last week, finalizing my house and everything and getting things together, and I thought I'll just buy a ticket, you know, like the day of on Friday, and all the Southwest flights were sold out, most of the Hawaiian flights were sold out. Ended up having to Uber to Kona.
So
it's funny because I actually spent more time in the car than it was in the air coming home. But for the most part, it's you know, it's an hour on Mokulele, it's 45 minutes on Hawaiian, but Mokulele is great because, you know, you just go to security, all
yes.
that. But it's about an hour, and it's really it feels really close to home, and yeah, it's not too big of a deal. I don't miss home too much. It's just a
you can see it. You can see it.
How much is an Uber ride from Hilo to Kona? I can't even imagine these days.
It was $150, but it was cheaper than it would have been to fly out of Hilo and go through Honolulu and everything.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Stuff, I guess, yeah.
And the thing is, I know, Anthony, that you've got this amazing career ahead of you, but it's not like you have an agent right now, right? I mean, I think you're doing
right.
it. You're
and
doing
you know,
it.
Things are pretty, things are pretty cut, you know, yeah. What you see is what you get. There's not...
not yet. It'll happen, though.
Going on.
It'll happen.
Cindy, you should
yes.
be his agent.
I would like to be. Actually, yeah. I'm gonna tell a little quick story, but Anthony was kind enough. I'm doing an album for children with disability with a wonderful artist named Rupam Sarma, who's done dozens and dozens of albums for good causes with children with disabilities. And I asked Anthony to sing a song that I wrote called Believe on it. And I had James Kimo West did the slack key guitar, and Anthony was kind enough to come in and sing. And we got children singing from both upcountry and also from the county where the shooting happened in Uvalde, Texas, to sing the song Believe. And Anthony was so kind in coming up and singing with that as well. Because it's so hard for children. I was just talking to someone saying how hard it is for kids. They're working with kids, and they just told me, you won't believe this. He just said he was working with kids, ages 6 to 12, and he realized he wanted to shake their hands, and he realized these kids had never shaked anyone's hand before because of COVID and the time and the fact that you don't shake hands anymore.
Right.
And how these kids had been changed by COVID. We don't realize what's happening with kids ages 6 to 12 right now. I don't have any kids ages 6 to 12 right now. I don't think you either, Vince.
No.
I you have any grandkids, Mark?
I do. I got two, one is 8. So the youngest is 8. So she probably can relate.
Yeah.
What you're saying, that's so true.
Yeah, I mean, we're forgetting that the kids out there are being affected by what things we take for granted, we never are happy with, but we didn't really think about, my gosh, what are we doing when we're cutting off contact? You know, when we can't touch, when we can't shake hands, when we can't stay closer than 6 feet, we can't hug, you know? So it's like, wow. So Anthony, I have to thank you because you were very kind to record that song, Believe. I think it came on. Did you get a chance to listen to it yet, Anthony?
Yes, I really love it, and I love the fact that there's you know, some of those kids in Uvalde that were able to sing on it as well. Like on the other side of it, it's beautiful that there's a lot more opportunities to collaborate with people far away, that, you know, because there needed to be away in COVID, you know, and I was able to take classes from UH Hilo and from Maui, and, you know, it in a way it kind of opened up the world, but and now that we have the best of both worlds, you know, that we're able to come together and we have this kind of refined way of collaborating throughout the world, I think it's really cool. And yeah, especially the song is a perfect example of skilled people who are able to record from Texas, from Maui, from wherever, and put something really beautiful together that you created. So I really appreciate that honor of speaking on that. And
it was an honor to have you do it, and I know how crazy busy your schedule is. It's like, you know, I don't think people sometimes realize how hard it is being a musician, trying to just, we were just talking with Vince about negotiating all the different tours and the things coming up. And, you know, from Maui, everything, when you're doing a tour on the mainland, is a huge, huge thing. You went back, Anthony, and you supported the Lays of Aloha, and you actually went back and sang at a couple of the places where people were really struck hard by the tragedies. And that influenced you too, didn't it, when you went to some of those places and sang?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's almost kind of shaped, it definitely shaped the last album I created, We Will Rise. We Will Rise was written first inspired by my grandmother, but then refined and finished when the Parkland, Florida shooting happened. And it just came in, kind of flooded in one day. And one line that really came in quick was, may we fight for peace and unity, not for religion, color, and belief. Because it feels like we could use this energy of fighting and combat, and it's never really positive energy, but maybe we could at least put it in the right direction, you know, and so that we could fight for change and in a way that we could all, you know, be together as far as, you know, not judging each other based off of belief. And it's something I heavily believe in, and so that's what, I just really love being a part of that.
And
that
you got
song.
To go
Everything
and you played it
if you just believe, you know?
You went to those places and actually played the song there, right?
Yeah, and most recently we took the Lay to Uvalde, and that was among the one of the heavier ones, and just you know, beautiful indeed to be with some of the families and, you know, the parents, and it's a really, really heartbreaking, really beautiful thing that the song kind of put it all together in my mind, you know. And these kind of things just reminds us that music does matter, because, you know, throughout COVID it was like kind of second thinking, like, you know, does music really have a real place? Does it mean, you know, is it fulfilling to the general populace, you know? And I think the answer is absolutely. Songs like yours and experiences like going with Delay, seeing people's faces, and the way the feeling of music, that, you know, the hearing is one thing, but when you can really feel it, and even, like, you know, when people hear Hawaiian music and they can feel it and they don't know what it means, it kind of has that, you know, second, you know, that proof that it really is the soundtrack of life, in a way, you know. I mean,
it's very healing.
That song, so.
No, the music definitely heals, and it brings people together in amazing ways. Have you ever thought, Mark, about doing streaming or trying to record any of those shows there? Because it seems to me like you're capturing a lot of magic with these shows you're doing out there.
No, I have not. I don't know much about that, but that would be great.
We could work
that's
on
a
that.
Great idea.
We can make that happen.
You know, Vince actually knows how to do this kind of thing.
We can make that happen.
He has a studio.
Yeah.
And he, I mean, I could actually see an album coming out of just the songs and the recordings.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, totally. That'd be fairly easy.
I'd be honored to host that.
Yeah.
That would be,
we'll work on that. We can
that
make that happen.
Killer.
Yeah, because it does, you know, again, it highlights what you know and what I know. That people all around the world should be aware of what's going on here with music on Maui. And I know Kane Koa is going out on the road and shining that light. And I know you, Anthony, are going out and playing your music, and people all of a sudden are realizing what Aloha really is when you go play at the Ivaldi in Florida. Yes. But when you put it all together in an album, it's amazing how this Aloha spreads in strange and interesting ways, as you know, because you're the book on it, right? Practice Aloha book is all about this, Mark.
yep. That book is 20 years old, almost 20 years old now.
Wow, you've got to do a party on this one, please.
Real proud of it.
When's it 20 years old? I want to do an anniversary party.
Maybe we do it with Anthony, Vince, and Eric.
Maybe. Well, Eric had two songs on Practice Aloha. He did two songs on that album. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, he did. Oh, I did not realize that.
Oh, yeah. He did the song There's Peace in Paradise, and he did the song Harmony that I wrote. You know, he did, he produced those. He's amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, he's absolutely amazing. And I wrote a song, You Can't Stop the Music, and he wouldn't take a dime for his recording I did with that one. I did that just recently. And he went in the studio, did all this. I said, okay, Eric, what are you? He says, no. I said, Eric, come on. Nope. So, Eric, people don't sometimes see that other side of Eric, that he's really a very giving, caring person. He hides that pretty well. He's going to be doing Rocky Horror Picture Show as a benefit for
EO
Theater in October.
We're going to sponsor that, too.
I'm going to sponsor that, too. We're going to have to do co-sponsorships, I guess.
And if whoever has never seen that before has to see that.
You have to see it. It's unbelievable.
God, that was wonderful what he did.
He is in his glory when he puts on the fishnet stocking and high heels. No one can beat Eric.
Oh, nope. Not at all.
It is classic Eric, you know. What can I say? There's something about Maui's magic, right, that can embrace all of this somehow. And, you know, just like I remember, and you probably remember, Mark, growing up in L.A., you could kind of do what you wanted to do in that field because there was not a lot of limitations when you were in that kind of field, you know. But I see this also on Maui, and I'm sure you do too, that we kind of have this freedom to do whatever we want to do, and it all seems to fit, right?
It sure does. You hit the nail on the head. It's, traveling to the mainland, I always enjoy seeing friends and old, and learn from different cities and different restaurants like Vince and Anthony do, hear different types of music. But Maui just feels right. It's and hooking up with like-minded people is, there's nothing better. It's the best high.
It is definitely. Yeah, definitely a high. Well, people should get tickets right away because there's really not a lot left, and it's going to be magic.
Yep.
It's coming up. It's Pure Aloha, 808-661-1287. I don't think fridasmaui.com has anything but like the menu, right? It doesn't really have tickets or sale at fridasmaui.com.
No, you just call and make a reservation for this Sunday. Make sure you're here by 6 o'clock. It's first come, first serve, how close you want to be to the stage. But it's going to be very intimate and a very special evening. And, again, I'm honored to have Connie Koa and Anthony play. And we're doing it for all the same reason, to help perpetuate and advocate for the Hawaiian language in public schools of Hawaii. I think it's so important.
I think it's wonderful. Well, I want to thank you so much, Mark. And Anthony, I know you're busy and in between trying to do a million things with your new move. So thank you for taking the time to call in. I really appreciate that. And Vince, with your busy schedule too, I guess you're racing up to Frida's.
I'm going to Frida's. Yeah, I'll be at Frida's tonight.
And hope there's no blockage.
Oh, that's right.
I'll be there, yeah.
He's hitting the highway. So thank you very much. And no more power outages, please. And we'll see you all Sunday at Frida's. Doors open at 6. Don't miss it. It's going to be a really wonderful night of magic, and I can see Vince planning to do the recordings there soon. It's going to be It's going to be wonderful. It'll be happening. It's good things, and wait till the anniversary of Practicing Aloha. Yay! Thank you so much, Mark, for making it happen, and a big aloha. Lots of aloha.
Right on, guys.
Thank you all so much. Aloha.
Restored power to a majority of customers on Maui around